Our dear Father in heaven, we're so very thankful for your wonderful love and mercy. We're very thankful that we can come to your house to worship you and study your word. And Lord, I want to thank you for the book of Habakkuk that teaches us how we may be joyous and be able to sing through our trials and our suffering and our circumstances, no matter how bad they might be. And then at last, to praise and bring glory to your name, because we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, this morning. Amen.
Amen.
My friends, how is it possible to be a patient, cheerful, helpful, enduring saint while the dark storm clouds begin to gather on the horizon and solemn events portray a gathering storm of trouble for God's blameless and consecrated people? This morning we're going to look at the formula Habakkuk gives, which will enable us to meet these trials with confidence and faith in God. Today we're going to conclude our series in the book of Habakkuk. Now Habakkuk ends his words in this particular book with a song. And like Habakkuk, all of us dislike confusion and disillusion, and we have within us a natural urge that wants to repair anything that is out of order. We can see Habakkuk's emotions begin to change from fear to faith as we read this book. And we can see a journey of great lengths, one that was very elusive to the prophet, but he finally made it. Now this morning we're going to learn something that Habakkuk learned. If we're going to learn to sing through the pain of our circumstances, there are two things that we need to know, which the prophet is going to tell us this morning in this third chapter. The first thing we need to know, if we're going to learn to sing through our circumstances that are not always so comfortable, and our circumstances that are where we struggle, is knowing something about the God that we serve. Turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 3. We want to read verses 2 through 5. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. There it says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the sunlight. He had rays coming out of his hands, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. Friends, a neglected practice of Christian lives today is the proper recognition of the majesty, the power, and the character of the wonderful, wonderful God that we serve. The thinking we have today is to trivialize the majestic Lord to the point of identifying Him as one of our casual friends or a buddy, whose primary purpose is to pamper his children and to protect us from harm. And that's just not the case. Habakkuk is letting us know that we serve a majestic God. He is an awesome God. And when we come before him, we should tremble for fear of being irreverent in his presence. If you and I are going to learn to sing during our trials and our problems, then we must learn to reverence God. We must learn to respect God for who He is. Habakkuk is saying we can learn to sing through the pain and suffering simply because of the power of our God and the splendor that is seen in His power. The power of God to create. Isaiah says in chapter 40, verses 26 and 28, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things, that bringeth out the stars by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For He is strong in power, and not one faileth. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, faints not and neither is weary, and there is no searching of His understanding?" My friends, as Habakkuk stops to consider the predicament that his country was about to go into, that is, enslavement in Babylon, and he reflects on the power of God, he begins to cry at the beginning. And then he finishes with a tremendous song. The splendor of God was enough to make the prophet sing through the suffering that he was enduring. As we consider our noble and majestic and mighty God today, we should be able to sing through our pain and our trials as well. Have you ever looked up into the starry heavens on a clear night and looked at the stars and thought of the mighty power of God? Have you ever visited Upper New York or Ontario, Canada, and seen the majesty of Niagara Falls as it cascades over that cliff? Have you ever been to California and seen the majesty of a redwood tree? After I was able to view the mighty ocean and walk into a forest to see a tree reaching directly up into the heavens, I thought of the mighty power of God. It's a religious moment for me every time I see one of those great redwood trees or a mighty tree, even like these wonderful trees out front here. As I look at those trees, it's a religious moment for me how God created those trees and He sustains them and keeps them. They're older than I am even. As I look at God's creation, I get a sense of the majesty and the splendor of God. And the prophet here is telling me that I can sing through my struggles because of the splendor of God in creation. Have you looked carefully at the delicate petal of a rose? Have you seen the grandeur of a mountain range or even the miracle of a soil when you put a tiny seed in it and the seed begins to sprout and grow? It's a miracle. My friends, my God is a majestic God. And so the prophet says, I can sing through the pain of my tests and my trials because of the majesty and the splendor of the great God in which we serve. Now the prophets in the Old Testament got to know God through four major actions that took place. The New Testament writers would also draw from those four major actions of God in the Old Testament. Number one was creation. Number two was the flood. Number three was the Exodus. And number four, the exile and the return from Babylon. Now all of these four mighty acts of God follow the same thing. God was consistent in dealing with His people. Out of nothing, He brought something we call salvation. Out of nothing, He created our world. He spoke, and it was there. And so when Habakkuk considers the majesty and the splendor of God, he says, I can sing through the pain of my trials, no matter what they are. As Habakkuk is recounting what is about to happen to his people and is looking at the splendor of God in creation, verse 3 alludes back to the Exodus. And you will find in Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, that God was moving through the desert. And He was about to deliver His people from Egypt. And His glory was seen from Mount Paran. What He did in creation, He did in the flood and in the Exodus. And He's going to do it again. And I can sing through the pain of my trials and my tests because mighty is a God that you and I serve. 1 Corinthians 1:24 tells us, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now here we can see the splendor of God in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was ascending up into heaven, leaving the disciples, He promised them that He would come back in the same manner in which He was going. I want you to see the splendor of God in His Son's promises. And have faith that what happened in creation is going to be happening again. God is going to make all things new. And after the seven last plagues, when Jesus comes back, He will deliver us and take us back to heaven to be with Him forever. Now here we realize the second thing that Habakkuk is telling us. Habakkuk says, "Listen up, brothers and sisters, when you read the promises of our mighty God." And because of these precious promises of God, we can sing through all the tests and the trials that we might be going through, no matter what they might be. Verse 6 says, "He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting." Friends, do not be afraid of the things that you are going to suffer in this world, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can sing through the pain because of the splendor of God in history, which shows us how He keeps His promises, and they will not fail. Have you ever been job hunting? Well, all of us have been job hunting sometime or another. Do you know what the ideal candidate for a job is? Someone that's just graduated out of college and already has 20 years experience. Have you ever been through a job interview and everything went just great and you came to the end and then came the big question? Well, how much experience do you have? Friends, Habakkuk is telling us here that you can have confidence in God and you can sing through the pain because God is a God of experience. You can have confidence in the God of creation, power, history, and experience. Our Lord has a marvelous track record. Whatever you're going through, He has been there, and He can see you through. Habakkuk, in the clutches of doom, says, "I can sing to the pain of my circumstances because of the God that I serve." In chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, Habakkuk tells us that the Lord marched through the land in indignation. He went forth for the salvation of His people, for salvation with His anointed. He struck the head of the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. And this is a clear referral back to the Exodus when everyone trembled as they heard that God was on the march. The spirit of prophecy tells us that God permits temptations, trials, and afflictions to come to His loved ones. They are His providences and visitations of mercy to bring them back when they stray away from His side, and to give them a deeper sense of His presence and providential care. So who is Habakkuk talking about when he's talking here about the anointed? Well, Isaiah chapter 45 verse 1 says, "Thus says the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates will not be shut." Now the anointed in the Bible is another word for the Messiah. He is the one that's going to deliver His people. And He will deliver you and me from the power of sin if we only allow Him to do it. In the Exodus, it was Moses. During the flood, it was Noah. And during the Babylonian exile, it was Cyrus. He was the one who toppled Babylon, bringing it to an end in one night. Cyrus was God's anointed, and he grabbed the head of the enemy and let God's people go. Friends, the real anointed one that I believe Habakkuk is talking about here, who is going to bring an everlasting salvation to his people, is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel." Now, I want you to notice here, Jesus says, "The Spirit is upon me, and He has anointed me." Those are synonymous terms. So why was Jesus anointed to bring salvation and everlasting righteousness? Well, Jesus says He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Are there any brokenhearted here this morning? Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Is there anyone here this morning that's a captive of some kind of a habit or something? Jesus can deliver you. And also He came to recover the sight to the blind. Are there any here who are blind, spiritually blind? Jesus came to recover the sight to the blind, the spiritually blind. And those that are bruised or oppressed. Is Satan oppressing anyone here today? Jesus can deliver you. He has come to do that. And He's also come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Creation power. Who went about doing good and healing those that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Habakkuk is talking about salvation coming from God through His anointed one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, all of heaven and earth are going to bow at that name one day. And it does not end there. While salvation is offered free and clear because of Calvary, we still have not seen its completion yet. You and I have a part to play. Do you know that God anoints you and me in Christ so that we can help to make salvation available to others? Yes. He has anointed you to do just that. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 through 22 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, under the glory of God by us. Now He, which establisheth us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, is God, who has also sealed us, and given the earnest of His Spirit in our hearts." Friends, you can sing through your struggles once you understand the security that comes through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. You can have peace in your soul, and through Christ, you can have help. You can help someone else to have that peace and that security in Jesus. Cyrus struck the head of the house of the wicked. At Calvary, Jesus struck the head of Satan when He said, "It is finished," as foretold in Genesis 3:15. Cyrus did it to Nebuchadnezzar. Moses did it to Pharaoh. And now Jesus has finally done it to Satan. Habakkuk is trying to let us know that in spite of the difficulties that you are experiencing, you can still sing through the pain of your sufferings because of the security that Jesus Christ brings to you. And He purchased that security by taking your punishment upon Himself, my punishment upon Himself. Years ago, there was a certain school in the mountains of Virginia, near where I pastored, which no teacher could handle. The boys were so rough that the teachers would always resign. Well, a young gray-eyed teacher applied for the job, and the old director scanned him and said, "Young fellow, do you know what you're asking for? An awful beating. Every teacher we've had for years has had to take it." The young man replied, "I'll risk it." Finally, he appeared for duty. One big fellow, whose name was Tom, whispered, "I won't need any help. I can lick him myself." The teacher said, "Good morning, boys. We've come to conduct school, but I confess I do not know how unless you help me. Suppose we have a few rules. You tell me and I'll write them on the blackboard." One fellow yelled, "No stealing." Another yelled, "On time." Finally, 10 rules appeared. Now, said the teacher, "A law is no good unless there's a penalty attached. What shall we do with the one who breaks them?" "Beat him across the back 10 times without his coat on." "That's pretty severe, boys. Are you ready to stand by it?" Another yell, and the teacher said, "School comes to order." Now remember, this happened many years ago. In a few days, Big Tom found his dinner was stolen. Upon inquiry, the thief was located, a little hungry fellow about age 10. The next morning, a teacher announced, "Well, we found the thief, and he must be punished according to your rules, which is 10 stripes across the back. Jim, come up here." The little fellow, trembling, came up slowly with a big coat fastened up around his neck and pleaded, "Teacher, you can lick me as hard as you like, but please, please don't make me take my coat off." "Take the coat off, Jim. You help make the rules." "Oh, teacher, please don't make me." He began to unbutton, and the teacher saw that the lad had no shirt on, only strings for suspenders over his little bony body. "How can I whip this child?" he thought. "But I must do something if I am to keep this school." Everything was quiet as death. "How come you to be without a shirt, Jim?" He replied, "My father died and my mother is very poor, and I have only one shirt to my name, and she's washing that today. I wore my brother's big coat to keep warm." The teacher, with switch in hand, hesitated. Just then, Big Tom jumped to his feet and said, "Teacher, if you don't object, I'll take Jim's licking for him." "Very well. There is a certain law that one can become a substitute for another. Are you all agreed?" Off came Tom's coat, and after 5 hard strokes, the switch broke. The teacher bowed his head in his hands and thought, "How can I finish this awful task?" And then he heard the entire school sobbing. That was a one-room schoolhouse. All the grades were in one room. Little Jim had reached up and caught Tom with both arms around his neck. "Tom, I'm sorry I stole your lunch, but I was awfully hungry. Tom, I will love you till I die for taking my licking for me. Yes, I will love you forever." Brothers and sisters, you and I have broken every rule. Now, we deserve death. But Jesus Christ took our punishment upon himself, and he died in our place and now offers to clothe us with his garments of salvation. Will you be willing to fully surrender your heart to Jesus this morning, laying all on the altar for him? Now be careful what you promise. It means everything. Are you willing to lay everything on the altar for Jesus? Everything. Jesus laid everything on the altar for you. Are you willing to really surrender your heart to him and tell him you will love and follow him forever? You know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. In verse 16 of Habakkuk chapter 3, we read, "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, and rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself." Now I want you to take a look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk here is in bad shape. And can you vividly see him trembling just as little Jim did in our story? Habakkuk is afraid because he's about to go into Babylonian captivity. He could not even get his words out because his strength had left him. Can you see the prophet now? And then continuing on, but verse 16, he says, "That I might rest in the day of trouble." In other words, he's saying, "I can rest in my Lord and Savior because of his promises, in spite of this trouble that I'm about to go into." In John 16, verse 33, Jesus tells us, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, in spite of the tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," Jesus says, "and you can too." And then in John 14, 27, He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Just like Jesus had done on the boat during the storm, when it was rocking and rolling, the disciples, who were experienced fishermen, feared for their lives, while gentle Jesus was lying on the back of the boat sleeping. Jesus says, "I can give you that same kind of peace despite the stormy predicaments that you're in. And you can learn to sing through the pain if you understand that peace comes from me." Friends, you cannot get peace from riches, nor can you get it from enrichments. Peace only comes from one place, and we have to learn this. And then Habakkuk finishes in verses 17 through 19, where he takes it to the lowest common denominator. He says, "Although the fig tree may not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no grain or food, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation," no matter what happens. By this time, Habakkuk had learned the real meaning of trusting in God, even though everything seemed to be going wrong. Habakkuk is telling us, if there is no food in the kitchen and no money to buy more, I will still rejoice in my God. I choose to believe that He knows what is best for me. If I have just lost my job, the rent is due, and I have no money, even if the car is broken down and I have the flu, I will rejoice in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, and the unconditional love of my Heavenly Father. My friends, when the children of Israel were given the promised land, it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Now, I want to show you something of how the milk and honey flow is affecting this particular passage here in Habakkuk. When you had honey, it meant that all the trees and the flowers were blossoming. And if all the trees and the flowers are blossoming, that meant that God had sent the early rain, because that made the soil fertile. And so God sent the early rain and put the blossoms on the trees, and the honeybees began making nectar. They began pollinating from tree to flower. Therefore, Israel had fruit. And if they had fruit, that means that Israel had also received the latter rain. And if they had the latter rain, they had grain. And if Israel had grain, Israel had cows. And if they had cows, they had milk. And when you think of the milk and honey flow, you're talking about the farmers having produce and cattle that are going to give milk. Once the milk and honey flow stopped, it meant you were in trouble. And so the land of Habakkuk, that was flowing with milk and honey, was finally taken away from Israel in order to bring about their salvation. Did you catch that? In other words, to help them to see their need of a Savior. Are you and I praying for the early rain and the latter rain of the Holy Spirit to fall upon us? When was the last time you prayed, "Lord, send the early rain upon me so I am fit to receive the latter rain and do it ASAP. I need it. I need it so I can be an effective witness." What happens to you, my friends, when the world seems to be crashing down on you and you feel that you're about to be swamped and you have a headache and the Sabbath day comes around and you are in no mood to go to church? What do? This is real stuff, my friends. Habakkuk is getting right down to the nitty-gritty, right down where we live. He's really reaching down right under our skin. And this is where we separate the real ones from the fake ones. This is where the artificial shows up. When you get right down to making a livelihood, and all of a sudden, God, through His permissive will, just pulls a carpet right out from under us. We can blame God for our seeming lack of survival, or we can be like Habakkuk. We can say, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer feet. He will make me to walk in high places. My friends, the secret to singing through our struggles is in this last verse now. We must learn how to praise the Lord and not allow our circumstances to shift our praise away from our precious Heavenly Father. He will guide you through your situation no matter what it is if you allow Him. He has the road map. Don't worry about your predicament. Praise the Lord and sing and trust Him to see you through it. Now in the last verse of the book, the high places and the hinds feet do not refer to heavenly places after death, but are meant to be the glorious experience of God's children here and now, in spite of their circumstances, if they will only follow the path that He chooses for them. Years ago, when laws were different, a poor family was in great need and misery through various circumstances. The man had died, and the mourning widow, because of debts, had to experience a judgment on her scanty possessions. They would be sold publicly so that the unpaid debts might be paid. Well, the widow was present and saw one piece after the other sold. Finally, the old Bible, which was an heirloom, was offered to the people. Let me at least keep this, begged the poor woman. But the lawman paid no attention to her request and prayer. Weeping, she reached for the precious heirloom Bible. To have at least a remembrance of the good old book, she quickly cut a cord loose which bound the cover that was around the Bible for protection. Well, the protective cover fell off into her hands, and with it, two dingy-looking yellow papers. Looking carefully at them, she discovered that each of these old-looking papers was a banknote of 500 pounds sterling. In today's money, that would be $5,000 each. Well, one side of the one was written in her mother's handwriting, "When you are in distress, may the Holy Scriptures be your refuge." On the other banknote, the father had written, "The eyes and ears of the Heavenly Father are never closed." Well, needless to say, the sale was stopped at once, and the widow carried her Bible home, thanking and praising the Lord for His precious promises. My friends, this poor widow understood what it meant to follow the path of God's own choosing for her. And more than that, she understood very clearly how He always takes care of His own as they trustingly sing through the pain. Now, to summarize what the book of Habakkuk is telling us, we need to learn the lessons of accepting and triumphing over evil, and of becoming acquainted with grief and pain, and ultimately of finding them transformed into something incomparably precious. Of learning through constant glad surrender and obedience to know the Lord and love Himself in a new way, and to experience unbroken union with Him. And these are the lessons of Habakkuk. Perhaps as we've studied the book of Habakkuk, the Lord will use it to speak comfort to some of His loved ones who are, or will soon, find themselves forced to keep company with sorrow and suffering, or who walk in darkness and have no light, or feel themselves tossed with tempest and not comforted. Perhaps as we look at Habakkuk's experiences, it'll help someone, maybe even here this morning, to find and understand a new meaning in the fiery trial that they're going through, or soon will go through. Remember, Jesus says, all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want you to know that the experiences through which you might be passing are all part of the wonderful process by which the Lord is making real in our lives the same experience which made David and Habakkuk both cry out exultantly, "The Lord God makes my feet like deer feet and sets me upon my high places." Psalm 18, verse 33, and Habakkuk 3:19. Now, my friends, please, don't allow anyone or anything to take your peace away. Habakkuk is telling you that you can sing through the pain of your circumstances if you only understand the majesty, the power, the mercy, and the splendor and faithfulness of God as you claim His promises. Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your precious promises. We thank You so much that You love us so much that You allow us to go through these tests and the trials to bring us closer to You. So many of us here, dear Lord, are hard-headed, and sometimes it takes some pretty severe tests and trials to get our attention, to get us to realize how much we need You. And I'm going to pray here this morning that whatever is required in the lives of, if there's anyone here this morning that's resisting, I want to pray, Lord, that You will bring, allow the enemy or whatever, to bring upon them whatever test, no matter how severe it might be, into their lives, that will draw them closer to You. And so, dear Lord, we ask that even in our own personal lives, whatever it's going to take, whatever severe test, whatever severe trial, whatever it might be, we ask that You will use it to bring us to the foot of the cross, because we pray it in Jesus' name and thank You for answering prayer. Amen.